What?
Technically, you're going to have help.
No, right, exactly. Da 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 da, we got four.
Four.
Okay, a couple of things.
First of all, if you are having trouble with visual, sending me Visual Basic. And I don't know what's going on. My RCN account is rejecting some people. Other people are being rejected, but not by me. Other people are getting through just fine. So I can't figure out what's going on. I tried, I looked at all my RCN settings. I don't see anything that would be saying people are spam, but that's what a few people got. So, what I'm saying is, if you're having trouble sending it, you can go and upload it to CIS Web and just send me the address. You can just upload it to CIS Web, zip it up, send it up there, send me the address. I will download it and it works just fine to simply send it by email. So you can put it up there. The other thing is I have that GMX account, which is my backup account, that I said way back at the beginning, you want to see stuff to. Nobody does. But anyway, if you send it, it's petegrosser@gmx.com. But if you do that, because I don't check that either, that's my disaster recovery site, if I have a big problem. So you can send it to petegrosser@gmx.com, but then you need to send me an email saying, this is what I did. I sent it to GMX, so I'll go and check it. But petegrosser@gmx.com. GMX.com. I think it's GMX. Yeah, it's GMX. So GMX.com, and I can go in and get stuff from there. So if you send it to pgrocer@gmx.com, I would prefer you put it up in CIS Web. That's just easier. But either way, I can get things that way. Okay. The portfolio, I want you to put together a portfolio, and that isn't as overwhelming as it sounds. If you go to my examples and look under HTML, it says template for portfolio. You can make your own or modify these. What the portfolio is starting to gather information that you can use to get a job. So what I want you to do is put together examples of your work. And in fact, in our last course, the capstone course, we have you finish off the portfolio. Okay? So what the portfolio really is a collection of things you can do to show somebody in an interview. Okay? So, this is a very, very primitive template. I would suggest you do something a little bit nicer, a little more exciting, but this is a very primitive thing. You can also incorporate any of the stuff that you did for the first introduce yourself, so you can incorporate any of that into it instead of doing this. But this is just a simple template of name, major, option, etc. The important thing here is I said click here to go to the table of contents. So if you click there, you bring up these, and none of these work. These are just things I put out there. So if you click on that, it takes you to the table of contents. Okay, so if we look at this, this is
second page. And I put it in with an anchor, A, and then each reference equals, and then I put in the name of the page. Now this assumes, this is assuming that it is in the same directory. Okay, so I'm assuming here that it is in the same directory. Otherwise, I need a path. Okay, so otherwise I need a path. So as long as I put this second page in the same directory as the first page, then it can find it just fine. But if you put it someplace else, then you got to give it a path so it can find it. Okay, now if you look up in my page, this sample that we just looked at is at www.pgrosser.net/cis17/html/html5. So I have 1, 2, 3 folders. Okay, I have 3 folders. So I first go to CIS-17. In CIS-17, I've got another folder that says HTML. If I click on that, I've got another folder that says HTML5. If I click on that, I finally get the index.html. So when I click on this page, you will notice that I get exactly the same address. The only thing that's different is the page name. But because I said it is at the same location, it is going to be exactly the same location. Now, you don't have to do 5,000 folders like I did. You can put everything in the root, or you can put them in one folder. You know, make one folder that says portfolio or something and put it all in there. Okay? But I have far more stuff out on my website, so I have far more folders going on. Okay, so if I then remember that it's CIS-17 HTML HTML5, so if I click on this table and bring it up, notice the same path: pgrosser.net, CIS-17, HTML, HTML5, and then the name of the page. So it's the same path, meaning it's in the same folder. Okay, it's in exactly the same folder. Okay. Questions on that much? Okay, now one of the things I want you to put out there, as I said, none of these work. I just put in addresses. Okay, none of these work. But obviously you got to make them work. But I'm just showing you I want some links there. Okay. Now one of the things I said I wanted to put out there is a database. And you can put out a database, but when you put it up, you have to have in the address the ACCDB extension. Okay, if you put out a Word document, then you need to have the .doc or .docx or whatever extension that you're using. If you're using a, not Word, but a different word processor, you may have a different extension. But the extension has to match. Okay, so you have to put out the right extension. So, for example, if you go back to my home page, I have in here on line, let's see, week 2, I have a series of databases right here that you can click on and bring up. So there are some databases that you can click on and bring up. So, if I look at the addresses that I put in for those,
frame, so I have to say this frame, view frame source. And I'm going to go down to week two. And right here are the addresses.
Okay. So I actually put in a whole address on these. If they were in the same directory as your portfolio, you could have just written student.accdb. So if they're in the same directory, you can just write student.accdb. What I wrote is AH reference equals, and I put the full address, which is http://www.pgrosland.net/the CIS120 folder/student.accdb. So I gave it the entire address, and you can do that if you want to. You can give the entire address.
Okay.
Or you can just put in the name.
Now, if you keep going and look down a little bit further, you can see that I have a doc.
Okay, so here is my doc file. And again, I gave the entire address, CIS120, Access Resources, F16.doc. So I can put out a Word document that way.
If you put out a JavaScript program, which is one of the things you should put up there, then you just have a .html. But if you have a Word document that shows something you've done, put a .doc. If you have a database, put a .accdb. Yeah.
What does target?
What does what?
Target.
When I'm dealing with frames, which is what I'm dealing with here, I need to have... The frames have two sides, and I need to tell it which side. Okay? But frames, number one, we haven't dealt with. And number two, HTML5 doesn't like them. But I wrote this before HTML5. Okay. HTML5 likes something called iframes, but it doesn't like frames. But I still like them, so therefore, I can use it. Yeah.
What's the difference between iframe and
frames? Not now. there's a course called CIS 122 that goes into all that. Feel free to take it. But I just don't want to go into that. That's a longer explanation than satisfying curiosity. Okay? If you want to stay after, I'll go through with you. Okay, questions? So, you need to put together a portfolio, and as I said, during your time here, I would keep adding things to the portfolio. So I would set up, your CIS web is going to be yours while you're here. So I'd set up a portfolio directory in there, and just keep adding things to your portfolio. And then when you graduate, you can use that portfolio to show somebody the work that you can do. Okay? Now, you have CIS Web throughout your stay here, so you can keep using it after you've left here. You're probably going to have to get yourself a host if you want to keep doing that and set up, you know, I bought the name www.pgrosland.net. And I got it hosted at a place. And I actually have to pay for it because I don't want commercials. I don't want advertisements. And most free hosting gives you some advertisements. And so I end up having to pay for it to avoid advertisements. Okay, coming up in the middle of my page. But after you leave here, you're probably going to want to consider doing something like that. Okay, so that's how you set up a page. Notice on this one I have an XLS extension, so that's going to be a spreadsheet. So I can put anything out there, and when I go to download it, this is what happens.
I click on this to download, and it comes up and brings up Student ACCDB and says, do you want to open it with Access or do you want to save the file? And if the Access is on the person's machine, they can then click on that and open it. And if they don't have Access but they still want to save it for use someplace else, they can save the file. So you can either save it or you can open it. Okay? So that's what you're going to put together for the portfolio. And as I said, you can make it as simple as you want or fairly complex, but I gave you the basic specifications. I want a page with basic information and a link to a second page that contains a menu with links to a database that you upload, two JavaScript programs you've written, and any other work for this or other courses. Okay? And you need at least three things. Well, actually, database and two JavaScript takes care of three things. Okay? So, that's an assignment. Okay, now what I want to do is look at databases. So, as you can see, what we're doing is kind of returning to week one, in this case, so that you remind yourself of how to do HTML. And we're returning to week two and three, in a sense, because we're going to look at Access. But we're going to look at how to set up a database that has multiple tables, which is the real world. The real world has multiple tables in it. So the first thing we're going to look at is this normalization. We are going to look at relational databases. And relational databases are the main way of keeping databases today. There is such a thing as big data that you've probably heard about, but big data tends to be more what Amazon uses, what Google uses, what very big companies use. Your average business in Fall River, New Bedford is not going to be probably going with big data, at least in the near future. They're going to be sticking with a relational database. So, there are rules for a relational database, and we're going to look at a couple of them. First of all, there are these rules called normalization. And there are about six different rules, but the first three are important. And if a database is what is called in third normal form, it is considered to be well-designed. And these are the rules to get it into the normal form. Okay, so the first of them is a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. So, let's say I start out and I've got a student table. And I have the student ID, and I have the student's name, and I have their major, and I have their address, and I have all kinds of things about them. Now I'm getting to the courses, and I want to keep track of what courses the student has taken. The problem is that the courses are a repeating group. If I put courses in that table, how many slots do I set up for courses? So I start out and I say, okay, I'm going to put in course 1.
course one is going to be made up of the course number, and it's going to be made up of maybe the course name, maybe the semester the person took it in, maybe the year of the semester that they took it, and the semester they were up at that. And maybe the grade they got. And then I set up a course two, and it would need the same three things. And then I set up a course three. But the problem with repeating groups is, how many of them do I have? And the answer is, you don't know. So I set up slots for 20 courses, or 25 courses. And somebody wants to sign up for the 26th course. I can't very well say, nah, sorry, we only have 25 slots, you can't take the 26th course. I don't care if you need it for graduation, you can't take it. Not going to sell well. Okay? So I can't carry repeating groups, so one of the big problems is that I don't know how many. And I was telling the other class, years ago, I made a phone call to place an order. And I wanted to order on, let's say, seven things. And when I placed the order, I got through the fifth thing, and the woman said, thank you for your order. And I said, but I'm not done. And she said, I can't take any more. Okay? Because what she had is a database set up for my order that had five slots. And I had finished off the five slots. So she said, I can't take any more. And I said, but I want these two things. And we argued for a few minutes. And then she said, all right, I can place a second order for you. So I had to give her my name, my address, my credit card number, and everything else a second time. And she placed a second order for me for the last two things. And the reason was they had repeating groups. And they had slots for five things. And when I wanted a sixth and a seventh thing, they didn't have any slots to put them in. So they had to start a whole new table to put them in. Okay? That was a poorly designed database, because you don't want to have that kind of thing happen. So what you do is you say, okay, courses, I'm going to set up a second table called student courses. And in that table, I'm going to have the student ID. I'm going to have other information, like the course number that the person is taking. And then I will have the semester that they took it. And then I will have the grade. So, that means that when somebody signs up for a course, let's say student 111 signs up for CIS 120 in the spring of 16 and they got an F in it. Now student 111 is signed up for CIS 120 in the fall of 16 and they got an A in it. And then student 111 is also taking CIS 122 in the fall of 16, and they got a B. And they maybe are taking English 101 or 102 or something in the fall of 16, and they got a C. And now we'll get to student 112, who's taking CIS 120 in the fall of 116, and they got a B. That was supposed to be a C. For some reason, this pen is not working out well. Okay, so now what we're going to do is talk about primary keys. Okay, so those are the records, the first five records. We're going to talk about primary keys. In this particular table, the student ID is the primary key. Now, what's a primary key?
A primary key is something that brings up a unique record. It identifies a particular record. So no two records can have the same student ID in my student table, but no two records should have the same student ID, because everybody should have a different student ID, right? So it's not a problem. So the student ID is the primary key, and all of the things on this table relate directly to that student ID. The name is for that student. The major is what that student is majoring in. The address is where that student lives. Everything on there is about the student. So now we come over to the student course table. Is the student ID a primary key there? Is that enough as the primary key? Does student ID uniquely identify a record? No. There's four records there with the student ID of 111. So it's not uniquely identifying a record. Okay, because each of them is a different record. But they all would come up if I said, get me student 111, which is what I want. But that doesn't mean it can be a primary key. Okay? So, if I combine it with course number, does that make it a primary key? Because you can have two parts. And that doesn't either, because I've got this person that failed and then retook the course. But if I throw in semester, then I've got something that will uniquely identify the record. Because every record, if I look at the student ID and the course number and the semester, they're uniquely identified. There are no two records that will have the same student ID, course number, and semester. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the primary key. Now, as we're going to find out as we go along in this, data on this table has to basically relate to all three things in the primary key. So the grade is definitely relates to all three, because it's the grade that a particular student got in a particular course during a particular semester. So the grade relates to all three of those. Okay? So that is, a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. And another example of this would be an order that you place, like the order that I place. Okay, so you have an order table, and this is about the order. So I'm going to make order number the primary key. This is about the order. So I have the date of the order. I have the customer that placed the order, so I have the customer ID and all of that. Then I have the order line table, and these are the items that I'm ordering. And it's going to have the order number because I need to be able to relate those two to each other, to join them together. It's going to have the order number. It's also going to have the item number that I ordered. Okay? And so those two together make the primary key. The order and the order for a particular item in that order. Okay? For a particular item in that order. And then I can have data in here like quantity. And so quantity is the number that item that's in that order, the number of that in that order. So that's another example of, I couldn't carry the order line items here because I'd have a repeating group. Because I don't know how many things you're going to order. You're going to order 5 things, you're going to order 7 things, you're going to order 20. The woman I was talking to when I placed my order clearly had room for only five. But if they had designed their table this way, then I could have ordered 7 or 10 or 50 or whatever I wanted to order, because it would work.
Okay.
Questions? Okay. Now, the next thing, I want to go back and get this. What did I just do? I have no idea what I just did there, but that's not what I wanted to do. Might as well select all. And then do an edit, copy, insert. Okay, so I'm just copying this because we're going to need it for the next one. The next one is a relationship is in second normal form. A relationship is in second normal form if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So that's what I was talking about here. Gray is dependent on all three of those. It's that student taking that course during that semester. So the grade is dependent on all three of them. If I decided I wanted to put a course name in, it doesn't work, okay? Because course name is only dependent on course number. Course name has nothing to do with the student. It has nothing to do with the semester, although I guess it might. But it definitely has nothing to do with the student. So if I try to put course name on there as a field, it is dependent on course number. It is dependent on course number. And it says here that a relation is in second normal form if it's in first normal form, in other words, no repeating groups, and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So I can't have something that is dependent on a portion of the primary key. So this would work. If I want to know the course name, I got to set up a course table. And on the course table, I will have course number and course name. And that would be the primary key. And if I want to know the course name, I can link over here and get it. Because I have a third table set up that has the course number and the course name, and I can link over to that table and grab the course name. Okay. Questions? And then the third one is a relationship is in third normal form if it is the second normal form and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay? So, let's say I have the course table on the student table. And I have the student ID number,
which is my primary key. And I have the name, and I have the major, and I have social security number, and I have address. Okay. So, social security number is a candidate key, because it could be the primary key, except that that's illegal. Okay? But at one point it wasn't illegal, or else everybody ignored the law, or I don't know which. But my license number was my social security number. And the college used social security number as your student ID. Okay? That would be considered illegal now. And thankfully it is, because if people get a lot of... I mean, I stop and think about how many times when I cashed a check, I wrote my social security number on the check without even thinking about it. You know, back in the good old days. You know, now I would never think of doing that. But back when we were less secure and less concerned about it. So, social security number is a candidate key. If I wanted to put on major name, okay, if I go and I say, I want major name here, and I'm going to add it here, I can't, because then major becomes a determinant, because major determines major name. Major name is dependent on what the major code is. It's not dependent on the student's ID. Major name has nothing to do with the student ID. It has everything to do with the major they chose. And so, if I need to have a major name, yeah, right. Let's try writing that just a little bit better. So I have a major table, and I have the major, which is a code, and that is the primary key, and then I have the major name. And I might have the chair of the department, I might have all kinds of things about that major. So, if I want to find the major name, I just use the major code on the student table and link in to get the major name. I can't carry it on that table. Okay? So I would just take and link in, and that will give me the major name. So that meets the rules of third normal form. Okay? And the feeling is that experts in databases sat down many years ago, and designed this structure. And the feeling is that if you follow these rules, even if you don't know what you're doing, if you follow these rules, you will probably have a reasonably well-designed database. Okay, and that's why they made the rules. Now, in fact, designing a database is one of the most difficult things we do, because if we get it wrong, then accessing the data on that database is going to be a pain in the neck for many years to come. So it's really one of the more complex and difficult things. And usually when you're designing a database, you have a group of people, management, you have users that can tell you how it's really done, and then you can have IT people that come with the technical parts of it. And you put a group together of multiple of each type, and you then can work at designing the database and getting it worked out, okay? But IT doesn't want to design it alone because they're interested in the technical part, but they don't know what the business needs. So you need the business saying, this is the information I need, this is the way I'm going to use it, so set it up for me so that it's usable. Okay, one other thing you need to know about how this works, and that is the data can have different relationships. I can have a one-to-one relationship, a one-to-many relationship, or a many-to-many relationship. Okay? And this is a relationship between tables. So, a one-to-one relationship, I might have an employee general stuff. And I might have an employee paid stuff. And I set up the two tables because I know that there is some information about the employee, such as their name, their address, what job they've got, that is kind of general knowledge that everybody can have access to. And then there's other information, such as their pay and their evaluation information, that should only be looked at by management. So if I set this up and I can put the general information here and I can put the information about salary and the evaluation over here, and I can deny access to this table to everyone except the manager, and I can let other people see the general table. Okay? So that's a one-to-one relationship. Each person in my company has a record on both tables. A record of more public information, a record of more private information. Okay, so that's a one-to-one relationship. A one-to-many relationship is what we looked at just a few minutes ago. The student table and the student course table. Okay, where we had the STU ID as the primary key, and then we had the name and major, all that good stuff. And over here we had the student ID and the course number and the semester and the grade. And these three were the primary key. So that was a one-to-many relationship. One student takes many courses. So I've got a one-to-many relationship there because one student takes many courses. And the many has to do with the repeating groups. Okay? That's why I can't have repeating groups. So I have a one-to-many relationship. Then a many-to-many relationship is one that I like this example that I saw someplace. If I have a table about movies and I have a table about stars, okay, so the movie ID is going to be my primary key and the star ID is going to be my primary key. This is going to have the star's name, and this is going to have the movie's name, and maybe we have the director in here or something like that, but it's information about the movie and information about the star. Now my problem is, one movie will have many stars, maybe. Potentially, a movie has many stars. So I've got the repeating group problem. How many slots do I set aside on the movie table for the number of stars? And there's no answer. So I don't want to carry star, which stars are in the movie table. Same problem, a star is a star because they've starred in many movies, usually. So I'm going to have many slots to tell what movies they were in. What movies they were in. I can't put any slots here, so again, I've got a problem. Okay, because I would have repeating groups. So to solve this problem,
I made what is called a bridge table. And the bridge table has the movie number and the star number. And let's say the salary they got from the movie. And those two together are the primary key. So I have a movie number and a star number and their salary. So movie 100 can have star 200. Movie 100 can have star 250. Movie 100 can have star 300. And I can put them all in there. So I have the movie number and the star number make up the primary key. And then salary relates to what a particular star made for a particular movie. Okay? So those are one-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many relationships. Questions? And that helps you think through how the data works. Because if it's a many-to-many, I need this bridge tape to bridge the two. If it's a one-to-many, I need one, and this allows for many. And I need to set that up. Yeah.
So by bridge, can you make the third table?
Yes. It's called a bridge table, basically. And I could give it a name like movie star. But it's technically referred to as a bridge table. So, those are things that I have to take into consideration when I'm designing a table. Okay, if I go back to my page, I have here student 4 table data needed. And I get rid of that. It will go away for a moment and then it will come back.
Okay. So here's information. I need information about the student. And I should have put on here that I also want to know the student's department. And here I use the word department instead of major. Okay? The CI department, the CI major, they're the same as far as I'm concerned. You're a CI major and you're part of the CI department. So here I called it department. So the student, I want to keep their name, their city, their state, their GPA, and the department they're in. About the department, I want to keep the department code, the department name, and the department chair. Then here are the courses that are available at the college. The course number, the course name, and the number of credits I want to keep. And then I want to keep information about the student taking the course, including the semester and year they took it, and the grade. So this is kind of the pile of information that I was given. Okay? So now my job is to say, okay, I need to set up tables to hold this information. And I need to design a structure for this information. And that includes setting up the table, determining the primary key, and determining the links between the tables. So my first table is going to be the student ID, the student table. Okay, so I'm going to have a student table. And it's going to have all of this information. The school ID, the name, the city, the state, the department, and the GPA. And the primary key on that can be what?
The student ID.
So there's my information about the student.
Now, as we said before, I want information about a department, but I can't have the department name there because the department name is dependent on the department code, not on the student ID. So it is not allowed there. So I set up my department table. And my department table is going to have the department, which is the code, the department name, and the chair of the department. And the department will be the primary key. Now these two link together. Because if I'm in the student table and I want to know the name of the department, I can just relate the two departments and say, find the matching department in the department table and show me the information. Just find the matching information over in the department table and show me the information, yeah.
To make it link together, does it do that automatically?
No, you have to do it in the database they're in. In the design, I'm simply setting up the ability to link them. I'm setting up the fact that I can link these two tables. Then when I implement it, and we're going to implement an access, then I have to write the code that makes it happen. But for now, I just have to have the potential. I have to set it up so that somebody can do it if they want to. But when we get into implementing, we'll see what they do. Okay, then I'm going to set up the course table. So my course table is going to have the course number, CRSN, I'll call it, since that's easier to write. It's going to have the course number, the course name, and the, what else did I say, number of credits. And the course number is going to be the primary key. And then I want to set up information about students taking the course. Now we already did this. This is the student course table. And it's going to have the student ID, the course number, the semester, and the grade. And these are the primary key. Now my linking is, if I want to find out the student's name, I go up here and there I can find the student's name. If I want to find out the name of the course, I can link there and I can find the name of the course. So I can link around and get to all of the information. Okay, there's no table that I can't link to. If I want to print out the student's ID, their name, their grade in a particular course, the course number and the course name, I will need to use the student table, the student course table, and the course table. If I need to link on all of those. So I can link around and grab the information that I need by linking around. Okay, so that is the table that I would design. Now, what you want to avoid is repeating data. You only want to repeat data that's part of linking. Okay, that you need to link the tables. So I repeat STU ID, I repeat course number, I repeat department because I need those to link the tables. But I don't want to ever have the student's name on there twice. Because if I do, or three times or four times, my husband went to work for a company at one point. It was a grocery store chain that's now gone out of business. And he was there about a month, and he was looking at the databases, and they had the customer's name on about five or six different tables. And they had other things on five or six different tables. And he came home and he said, okay, I'm putting in my
sending out my resume. I'm not staying here. I'll never survive. Because I think the database should be designed well. They don't. This isn't going to work. I'm starting looking for another job. But you can't do that. You can't have the name appear on multiple tables. Because somebody gets married and decides to change their name, you've got to change it every place. Somebody changes their major and you carry the course name all over the place, you've got to change the course name. Or we just decide to change the course name instead of just going one place and changing the course name. I have to find every student that took it and change the course name on every record. So the only duplication you should have are the things that you're using to link. Okay, so now we are going to bring up access. So if you go here to Student 4 Table Database, we have access. Okay, so here are my four tables. So I have set this up, and I've got four different tables. My student table, my department table, my course table, and my student course table. Okay, so I've set up the four different tables that I'm going to use. So, first I'm going to click on design view and look at the student table. Okay, so the student table has the student ID, student name, city, state, department code, student GPA. And one thing that you should be careful of is that I'm going to link the department code into another table. So it should be the same type and size. Because if I'm linking these, they should be the same type and the same size, because essentially they're holding the same data, okay? So I don't want them to be different types and sizes. So if I look at the ID here, it is a short text of 5 characters. So when I open up the department table, I should be seeing the department code there as short text, 5 characters. Okay, I don't want to see anything different. I have the primary key as the student ID, and so I clicked right there to get the primary key, and there's the icon up there. So if I highlight this, if it's not highlighted, I highlight it and click on primary key, and it becomes the primary key. Okay? So I've got the student ID, the student name, city, state, department code, and GPA on this table. Okay. So then I remember department code is short text for 5. Right? Wait a minute. No, it says 2. I must have clicked on something else. Yeah, I did. Student ID was 5. Department code is 2. Whoops. Okay, so department code is a 2. So I want department code in the department table to be a 2. Sorry, people at home. Okay, so now I click on the department table, and I open it in design view, and the department code is indeed a short text of 2, so it's fine. It has also been specified as the department code, as the primary key, rather. And there is a department name and a department chair on here. So now the next thing is I want to look at the course table. And there's the course table. And the course table has a course number that I know is going to be a link. So that is a 6 character. What did I do? All right, I want to close this and open it back up because I have no idea what I did. Okay, so it is a 6 character.
So far I know that the student ID is 5, course number is 6, department code is 2. Those are the ones that I've got to have the same. So here's a course number, and it's got 6 characters, and the course name, and the number of credits. And course number is the primary key.
Okay. So now I have to go back. Did I take a picture of department? I'm not sure I did. Student course is what I want now. So if I open student course has
the things I said, student ID, and I need to check its size and make sure it's 5, course number, and I need to check its and make sure it's 6. Okay,
so student ID, if I click on it, is indeed 5, and course number, if I click on it, is indeed 6. Okay, so those are okay. And my primary key is made out of these 3 fields. What you do is you highlight the 3 fields, hold down either shift or control, and then hit the primary key icon up there, and it will make the primary key. And you have to highlight all 3, and then hit the shift or the control. Either one works. So if I take this, come on, I want to get rid of that. Cut. No, I don't want to. All right, how do I get rid of that? All right, I know how to put it in. I just don't know how to get rid of it. Experiment, somebody. How do I get rid of the primary key there? If I want to make the primary key, all right, let's see if I put the primary key. No, I can't do that. Oh, I haven't saved it. That's probably my problem. Yeah, I haven't saved it. And I think I just lost something. Now it's back. Okay, so I then hadn't saved it, so I couldn't manipulate it. But I think if you just highlight them, it's terrible. And I know that if you highlight the 3 fields and hit either control or shift, then hit the primary key icon up there and put it in the primary keys. So those are the primary keys for that tape. And we have the ability to link all of these tables if we set it up. Okay, so I'm going to close these down. And I'm going to say I want to link 2 tables. Okay, so I'm going to save this as, and I'll put it out on my F drive. So now I've got my tables saved. And if I want to create a query, back to the introductory course, create a query design. Okay? So I do create query, and then it comes up and it gives me all of the tables that I can choose to use. So I'm going to choose the student table and the department table. So I'm putting up the student table, I'm putting up the department table. Sometimes you get this line that does the connect for you. Other times you don't. It kind of depends on if you've worked with the table before.
if you don't see this connect line here, what you do is take the department code in the student table, drag it over on top of the department code in the department table, and it makes that line. Okay, so you just grab the field from one of them that you're linking to the other one, and drag them over, and it makes that line.
So if you don't see that line, that's how you can make it. So then I can choose the fields that I want to see. So I want to see the student ID, the student name, the department code, the GPA. And I'm going to put out the department code a second time so you can see how it links.
Okay, so notice what I've got there. I've got the table name and the field name showing. So it shows me the field name and the table name. Okay. And it has the link between them as department code is the thing that we've linked. So that line is very important because this line tells how they link. Okay. And that line is very important.
So now if I look at the results of this, I can see all of the students, and I linked from the student department over to the department and got the department name. I'm going to drag these out a little bit. Notice that we have student department code and department code, depending on where I got them from.
And in fact, I obviously don't need to show both because they're the same, but I did show both to prove that they're the same. Okay, so it linked to the BU, it linked to CI, and linked over, and that got me the department name because I linked into the department table and I got the department name. Okay. So this is the result of setting up and linking.
So, as long as you have the potential to link, you can then go in and do the link and link the things together.
Okay. But I had to have designed it so I had the potential to do the link, or else it wouldn't link. Okay, I'm done for the day. We will continue this on Thursday. This is actually our last topic, so we're closing down. Next week we have classes. The following week we don't. And then we have open labs, and Eric will be here three out of the three days. I don't know. I'll only be here one out of the 3 days, but Eric will be here the other days. Yeah.
Next week
we have classes. The week after we don't. So classes go through the 8th. And then after the 8th, we'll have an open lab. I always do that. I always try. At least 1 year I was sick and couldn't. I always try to make the last week a catch-up week. And I also give you your final.